when God is left out of the plan, part 2, Genesis chapter 16 and verses 7 to 16. Abram was not firm to follow God concerning God's will and God's way of fulfilling his will. There are far-reaching effects to every decision and choice in life. As we saw last week, the consequences of this choice that Abram would make to bring in Sarah, the handmaid, to be the surrogate mother for the promised seed that God has promised by their own concoction, would bring about an unending family feud that exists today between the Israel and the Arab nations. It stemmed from that one mistake. And let us see the grave consequences of the choices that we make, so that we would be careful and deliberate in making God-honoring choices for his glory. When Abram made that decision, it was without consultation with God. You recall last week, we saw the temptation that took place when Sarai suggested to Abram in verse 2, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her." And our text tells us, Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Just like that. We were mentioning how it was a culture of that time to do that. If the couple is unable to conceive, it is not unthinkable. It is in the culture acceptable to, through a surrogate mother, the maid, bring forth an heir for that family. But it's not the plan of God. The plan of God has always been through the covenant family, the husband and wife relationship. But here we see an enigma that took place because Sarai was restrained from bearing. Dear friends, at times, you would see God acting, as it were, on the one hand, providing the promise that their descendants will be as the stars of the sky, and yet, on the other hand, causing them to wait. And so, our text tells us, when Ishmael was born, in verse 16, that Abram was 86 years old. 86 years old. So he has been in the land for 11 years. 10 years. And then this temptation took place. You recall the three thoughts that we saw last week? The temptation, we saw how it came, and the fall, how Abram so quickly acceded. He ought to have known better. It was the same with Adam. When Eve was beguiled by the serpent, and the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God said, if you eat of it, you shall surely die. And yet, man is somehow oblivious of the consequences of their choices. They make choices oftentimes without thinking through the consequences. So God, when He plays for us this, well, when was Abraham's time? That's 2000 BC. Today we are 2000 AD. 4,000 years ago. A story that has still not end. The Arab-Israeli conflict. The conflict between Ishmael and Isaac. A long-standing one. 4,000 years. God allowed the playing out of human choices. We said last week, if we are to sow to the flesh, we will reap of the flesh, which is death. But if we would sow to the Spirit, then we would reap life everlasting. There are times God calls us to be patient, to wait upon Him. And so the Lord tells us to every unmarried person in the Church of Jesus Christ, wait. Do not make haste to go into a marriage of an unequal yoke, because the consequence will be long-standing. It's throughout your lifetime. Why do you rush to make a decision? Well, there are those who said, oh, because, you know, I'm getting older. That person looks so compatible, and yet, you know, we have the same habits. We like each other. But as it were, in the heart, we are moving in two different directions. It's okay. Let's go with it. Well, the Lord speaks to us and seeks that His people would be willing to wait upon Him rather than fall into a temptation. Let us not make haste to sin, to go against the will of God. But rather, let's be willing to wait upon God when you know that it is not in the will of God. And so the Word of God is very objective. God said to Abraham that a child will come out of his loins. Of course, when they look at it, they said, yes, out of Abraham's loins, but not Sarah. Well, they forgot that in the sight of God, the covenant family consists of the husband and the wife. And how God protected Sarah when they were down in Egypt against Pharaoh. Remember, God sent a plague to plague Pharaoh's household so that Sarai would be preserved for Abraham, because the chosen seed would have to come from there. And so if you were to examine your life and trace it carefully, you would be able to see and understand the purpose of God and the leading of God, which way you should go. And so they took the bait. And Today we are going to look at the consequences of the choices. Verse 4 of our text tells us, "And Abram went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." That's the beginning of trouble in the family. And here, straight away, you would notice the envy and the jealousy that comes in a family that cannot contain two women in the same household, that despising, the slighting of Sarai. Sarai was very upset, very bitter, very angry. She thought she was doing a right thing, helping God, sharing my husband, as it were, with another woman, so that the seed would come. But is this the will of God? Let us not be so easily taken in by the deception of falsehood. But here, let us take good note. And God spelled out the result of this kind of sin as the man Jenny Getz puts it, quoting Proverbs 30, verses 21 to 23. Will you turn there to Proverbs 30, verses 21 to 23? Proverbs 30, verses 21 to 23. "For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and for a handmaid that is heir to her mistress." Here is given to us the destructive impact, the effect of it. For a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. This was what happened. That was the beginning of trouble. And so what happened? Well, there was a great battle that was going on in the family, and Sarai was very upset. Verse 6 of our text says, "And when Abram said to Sarai, do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her." So, of course, Sarai was very upset at that time. She could not contain the slighting that this maid did to her, and she dealt hardly with her. The word there means to afflict. The pain that she experienced, that she felt, she afflicted it upon her. And so she fled. Hagar fled from her face. Verse 7, that's where we begin with two thoughts. Now, with a focus on Hagar. As it were, we know she was an Egyptian handmaid. Came when the family went down to Egypt, probably a gift from Pharaoh. And so what did she do? Well, she began to run back back to Egypt. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of the water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Right, 1 Samuel 15:7 tells us that the place of Shur is over against Egypt. So she was on the way back. She said, it's terrible. But you see, when Hagar came to the household of Abraham, she was converted. She was saved. And she believed in the God of Abraham, the God who had called him to the Ur of the Chaldees, from the Ur of the Chaldees here to Canaan. Verse 13 of our text tells us how she called the name of the Lord that spake to her, Thou God. You see that in verse 13? Thou God, seest me. So she understood that the messenger that came was an agent, was sent of God. And what did God say to Sarai? Verse 8 of our text says, Hagar, or to Hagar, Sarah's maid. Hagar, Sarah's maid. You see here how the Lord addressed Hagar as the maid of Sarai. Although she has run away, but she remained in the sight of God, the maid of Sarai. She could run away from her place of duty, but she could not run away from the hand of God. It was the will of God that she would serve as a handmaid in that family, whereby she would be saved. And how can we respond if you are Sarai, as a suffering handmaid with her own sins? Verse 9 of our text tells us, the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Return to thy mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Yield yourself to her. If you are Hagar and you know Sarai hates you, will you go back? But it was the will of God. Here, the word of God has an instruction to us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. It says here, teaching us how we can be a servant of God in the station whereby He places us in. Here it says, Ephesians 6, verse 5, Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service and as man pleases, But as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill or with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Here is given us the instruction how we are to be obedient to them that are our masters according to the flesh. So you can have your supervisor in the workplace, someone that you work for. Well, the Lord says that you serve with fear and trembling in singleness of heart. Serve as unto God. In other words, your service is to God. And you have to treat that work that you do as for the Lord. And when we do so, you realize that our attitude, our service takes on a whole new dimension, isn't it? We are willing to be patient, knowing that we are serving our God. So when the instruction comes from the master to do this and to do this and to do this and said, I'm so tired, it's not my scope of work, it's not what I'm supposed to do, am I to do it? Well, God has placed us there, and as a testimony for Him, He has given us, as it were, a master over us. And therefore, the Lord teaches us how we are to be obedient to them. Not with eye service. In other words, don't just try to satisfy them by an insincere work that you would put in. Right? When the boss sees, I do. Nobody sees, I don't do. Not like that. But here we are taught, not with eye service as men pleases. So we are not doing it to please a person, as it were. And it is the same here in our service for the Lord, in all the work that God has places us to do. If we think that we are serving men, then, well, our service would be very earthbound. But if you have understood the will of the Lord, that you are serving your Lord Christ, servants of Christ, as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, then your work will be quite different, you know. And so Sarai is taught here to submit. Of course, we are speaking about the consequences of all that has taken place now. You have a maid that is a believer who love God, serve God, but has her own weaknesses. God did not deal with her after her weakness, but provided a way for her. You see how gracious is our God? And so our thought here, submission to God in the time of our affliction. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will yield, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. God gave to Hagar a promise concerning His blessing upon her for yielding to her mistress. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, verse 11, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael. It means God will hear. God heard her afflictions. God hears your afflictions. Solomon says in Proverbs 15 verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good, or the evil and the good. So don't think God doesn't know what you are doing. If you are serving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God knows. And if you are paying lip service, God also knows. What does He expect from us? That we would serve Him with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And this was the lesson that was given to Hagar, that God knows what you are going through. You are a handmaid. You are subservient. You have to serve. We all understand what it is to serve tables, right? It's easy to sit down and eat, and you just said, "Hey, waiter, waitress, bring this. Bring this. I need it. I need it now." Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that He came not as a servant, but He came as a waiter or a waitress, as our example. That we should learn what God has, is, His will is for us. To be His servant. So verse 11 at the end says, thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So something good came out of that trip to Egypt. An Egyptian handmaid was rescued or taken out of Egypt. And how she became a believer. And how she was abused, as it were, to be surrogate mother, and yet treated with contempt. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. And every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Well, here is a description of the person of Ishmael. He will be the son of the flesh as a result of a decision against the will of God. A fleshly nature. And she called the name of the Lord and spake unto her. Verse 13. Thou, God, seest me. For she said, have I also looked after him that seeth me? And so here is given to us her response. What was her response to God's word for her? She obeyed. So dear friends, if you are facing some kind of an ordeal, your situation right now, well, God speaks to you and grant you wisdom. For Hagar, she was not to run away, but she is to go back to the mistress' house. Though she was not compelled to obey, when she escaped, yet in the sight of God, her condition is not changed. She remains Sarai's maid. And so for us, we need to know also the will of God for us. When He places us in every situation, in every relationship, we need to see God's guidance in it. And so you see here, God reproves her for her flight. And she was being reproved for her opposition against her mistress. She had exalted herself against her mistress. It was not to be. The authority that God has placed for her to follow, well, she did not. And so the Lord tells us and teaches us here that we are to realize in the presence of God, when He shows us the way back, we are to obey and submit ourselves and yield ourselves. So you see here for Hagar, she submitted to God and she received mercy from God. She was asked to return to her mistress, and she did. Verse 14. And the well was called Beer Laharioi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. God intervened. God showed her the better way. And sometimes in our life, pride gets in the way. But God has a better way. And God wants us to learn the lesson of submission. Verse 15. Hagar returned and bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. So God granted to Abram, as it were, a seed. But it was not of the will of God. And you see the complicated picture that has evolved now. You have a son that came out of that decision. Right? When a believer marries an unbeliever and they become one, and then children come after, you can't so easily unwind things, you know. And so the Lord teaches us and speaks to us. That we ought to look into our ways and consider if it's the way of God. Solomon says, "For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings." God sees the decisions that we take, the movements that we make, there are far-reaching consequences to our actions, far-reaching consequences to our decisions. And therefore, the Lord seeks for us to be careful to make decisions of importance slowly. If you are not sure if it's the will of God for you, then don't jump into it. Don't make the decision and regret it later, as we would see for Abraham and Sarai. All the family problems that comes, and Sarai will have to live with Hagar, with a son which is not the chosen seed. That's what Galatians tells us as we conclude. For it is written, Galatians 4:20-23, that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he that was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. We would rather wait on God and do the things that is right in the sight of God. So if you are not sure, you're on a crossroads, do not be quick to commit yourself, especially to decisions, life decisions for our young people, decisions of a career, decisions for a life partner. Major decisions that you will make while you are still young, in the youth of your life. But the decision, the consequence of the decision would have a far-reaching impact upon the foregoing days of your life. And therefore, it behooves us to plan with God in our plan. Right, you can read the pastoral for today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. We are taught to walk humbly with God, trusting His guidance, waiting upon His providence, surrendering to His holy will. Man's often lofty plans for the future, conceived from present state of strength, needs to be qualified first by divine approval. So, I say, let us take time to wait upon God, to search the scriptures, if what we will do is in the will of God. And if we are sure this is what God wants us to do, then with confidence, let us proceed. But if we are not, and you realize that it is against the word of God, repent, yield ourselves, do not go into it for fear of the consequences. May God be merciful. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy grace. Grant us Thy mercy to walk with Thee, to plan with Your will always, Your word always as our guide. Help us, Lord. May we rest in Thy wisdom. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.